while you're turning there. Those of you who are young people, we've got youth this Friday night. It is the last of the Alpha videos. So if you're able to join us, we'd love to see you there. And then Wednesday, the 18th of October, we won't be here for our prayer meeting. We'll be heading to concert to join with other Elim churches in the area and worship and pray together with them. So if you are able to join us, we'd love for you to come. If you're not able to make your own way there, if you let us know, we'll do our best to get you there. And I think that's all my announcements. John chapter 11, let me read from verse 1. It says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so God's Son may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.' 'But Rabbi,' they said, 'a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back.' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light.' After he'd said this, he went on to tell them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up.' His disciples replied, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better.' Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then when he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.' Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.' On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. 'Lord,' Martha said to Jesus, 'if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha answered, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?' 'Yes, Lord,' she replied. 'I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.' After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. 'The teacher is here,' she said, 'and is asking for you.' When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping and the weeping... When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who'd come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. 'Where have you laid him?' he asked. 'Come and see, Lord,' they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?' Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. 'Take away the stone,' he said. 'But Lord,' said Martha, the sister of the dead man, 'by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been in there 4 days.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?' So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.' When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, 'Take off the grave clothes and let him go.'" I have been trying for a number of weeks to speak to you about the seven I am statements in John's gospel. And so it's my intention particularly to focus attention on Jesus. But I wanted to read the whole of that narrative, partly because I just really like it. But it frames the words that are familiar to us. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. It's words that are often said at funerals of loved ones. But actually, this isn't a random statement Jesus makes. He's walking into a situation of significant grief and met by people who are disappointed with what hasn't played out the way they expected. He says to them, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus arrives into a situation where he has been intentionally late. He's been intentionally late. He got word that Lazarus was sick and he loved him. So verse 6 says, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. He's not in a rush to get there. And he knows by the time he's leaving, Lazarus is already dead. Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. He's already tried to tell the disciples that. Lazarus has fallen asleep. And they want to offer them, Jesus, their medical opinion about the value of sleep in this situation. Well, if he sleeps, he'll get better. He doesn't go rushing when he hears the words, the one who you love is sick. He waits, and he waits with purpose. So he gets there, and Martha comes out to see him. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not be dead. There was no absence of faith on Martha's part about Christ's ability to heal her brother. She didn't doubt that if Jesus had come when she wanted him to come, he could have made a difference in the situation. Lord, if you had have been here, my brother would not have died. There's an absolute confidence on her part that actually the situation would have been different had Jesus been present. The problem was he wasn't. And now he's dead. Mary shares the same view in verse 32. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And I feel like I see myself in the words of those sisters very often. Because I have very often got the propensity to tell Jesus how different my circumstance would have been if he'd have done it my way and how I wanted him to do it. Lord, if you'd have been here, this would have been so different. If you'd have done it the way I told you to in my prayers, we would have been in a different position right now, Jesus. Jesus, had you come when I told you to come, how I told you to come, and worked in the way I'd explicitly told you to, Oh, what a different situation we'd find ourselves in now. Because that's often how I pray. Let me be crystal clear with you. I'm telling Jesus the solution to my situations at times. This is how we solve it, Jesus. Don't worry, God, I have a plan. Listen, I know you're busy up there. So don't worry. I've got an idea about how we fix this. If you just do what I tell you to do, how I tell you to do it, my situation will be completely different. Because I know best. And that's the reality of how we think and feel. And then I have to live with the disappointment about the fact he didn't do it how I told him to do it. He hasn't worked how I explained to him he should. He hasn't acted in the way I told him to, and I knew this would work. So I'm left now, you didn't come when I told you to come. My brother's dead, and had you been here, he wouldn't have been dead. And actually, it's a little bit humorous, but it is the reality of how we live. In every situation of importance in my life, I explain to God what he should do. In every circumstance of meaning, I tell him what needs to happen and then get annoyed about the fact he doesn't do it the way I told him to do it. And get upset about the fact he didn't move the way I told him to move. And had he just listened to me. Honestly, it was a great plan. I had good thoughts. But now here we are. And a lot of my life is lived in that place of, Lord, if you had of. If you had of. If you'd have been here. Lord, if you'd have moved the way I wanted you to. It would have been different. Let me say this really clearly. He didn't want it to be different. He didn't want it to be different. He didn't think your plan was better than his. He doesn't think you've got a better grasp on this than he has. He wasn't late by accident. Jesus had the capacity, if he wanted to just send word when Lazarus was sick. He's done it for others, right? He did it for Jairus' daughter. He could have just spoken. And Lazarus would have been fine. He had the capacity, if he wanted, to drop everything, defy the laws of physics, and travel however he wished to be there. If he wanted to be there, he could have been there. But that wasn't his plan. And it's really funny. Not in like a ha-ha way, but a weird way. Because I've no idea what he was doing with his 2 days. When Jesus heard Lazarus was sick, he waited 2 more days. What did he do? What did he do? I mean, was he fishing with the lads? Was he about the Father's business doing miracle after miracle? Or was he just waiting? And I don't know the answer to that question. I have no idea what he did with the 2 days. But it was intentional, the fact he didn't go straight away. And I'm great at telling Jesus what could have been had he done it my way. And very often I'm having a wrestle with him about the fact he didn't do it my way and how much better off we would have been now had he done it. Listen, 5 steps ago, Jesus, I had a great plan. And I knew how you did everything then. And I pieced the puzzle together. And now I'm here and it's not like I wanted it to be. And I've asked you to do something and you didn't do it. And we think we have to explain to him why it would have been better. Let me tell you, he knows what he's doing this morning. He knows what he's doing in your life. He knows how it works out. And your ideas might be good, but they're not as good as his. And they don't have the capacity to see the fullness of everything like he does. I spoke to you before from John 11. To try and explain, your life is not an island. Jesus waits for the sake of the disciples, that they might believe. A whole pile of Jews come to believe in him when he calls Lazarus out of the grave. And it is the catalyst for the cross. Had Lazarus not been dead in the tomb for 4 days, the Jews would not have determined they had to kill him when Jesus called him out. That's what the rest of John 11 will tell you. But here we are in this situation. Lazarus is dead. And Martha makes a sort of statement of faith. But even now, I know God will give you whatever you ask. I have no idea what she means by that. Because Jesus says to her in verse 23, your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. I would want to have a conversation in that moment about what you meant, what you're saying, Jesus. But Martha hears those words and has an explanation for them. I know he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day. There isn't a difficulty for Martha in accepting that resurrection is a reality for her brother. She doesn't struggle with that concept. She knows he will rise again. That's her words, right? I know. She isn't struggling to accept the fact that this is going to happen. Isaiah 26 and verse 19 says, your dead will live, Lord. Their bodies will rise. Let those who dwell in the dust wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Daniel 12 and verse 1, but at that time your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. It's not a new concept that there will be a resurrection of the saints. And Jesus comes and he teaches that himself. John 6 and verse 39. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. Martha doesn't struggle with the idea that there will be a resurrection. But it's a distant future reality and an abstract thought. At some point, somewhere down the line, there will be the last day and there will be this resurrection. And I know that's going to happen out there somewhere. But how does that help me live with now? Because the distance of it, the uncertainty of what it looks like, gives no real clarity to anything in my immediacy. And Martha's living in this place where, had Jesus been there sooner, everything would have been different. And at some point in the future, Lazarus is going to rise again. But what about now? It's too late. My brother's already dead. And it's not soon enough for the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus' response is, I am the resurrection and the life. This isn't a future moment. It's a present person. This isn't a future moment. It's the man standing beside her. That the resurrection isn't a distant reality at an unknown time with unknown quantities and whatever else. It is the person she has come to know and love. It's the person who has sat in her house while she's been worried about what he was going to eat. He is the resurrection and the life. Before his own death, burial, and resurrection, he declares, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't need to go to the cross to be the resurrection and the life. And the outcome of that wasn't uncertain. And in the moment where Martha is confronted by death and recognizes there's a possibility of something in the future, Jesus shows up and says, I am the person you need right now. I am the resurrection. And I'm not sure we've got that. I'm going to be honest with you. Jesus doesn't show up and say, I will do the resurrection. He doesn't show up and say, listen, one day when the sky parts and the trumpet sounds, I will call forth people out of the grave. And that is true. I believe that wholeheartedly. But what he shows up and says is, I am the resurrection, right here, right now, with you, present in this moment. And he demonstrates it. He stands at a dead man's tomb and says, come on out, Lazarus. Get up, son. It's got to be the wackiest moment where a guy wanders out of a grave and what Jesus has to say is, take the grave clothes off him. For goodness sake, let him go. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing me will never die. Believe in me and live even though you die. So you don't die. Live by believing in me and you will never die. You don't die. You can't kill me this morning. Whatever happens, I'm not dead. I will never die. Never. I will never die. We do this thing. If you walk out here and get hit by a bus, do you know where you're going? If I go out here and get hit by a bus, let me tell you one thing. I'm not dead. Whatever happens in my life, I'm not dying. It's not how we live. I'm never going to die. Because I know the one who is the resurrection and the life. You can do what you want to me. I'll still be alive with him. And eternal life is not a distant reality for us. I was born again by the Spirit of God. I am living in eternal life now. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Not this is eternal life. One day they'll get to heaven. I'm living eternal life now because I've come to know the resurrection and the life. I was reading a news article recently of a billionaire who is spending millions of pounds trying to stay alive. Blood transfusions from his youngest son, trying to get various platelets and whatever else. I didn't understand the biology of it. It was all a bit over my head. But spending an absolute fortune to try and stay alive. All he has to do is know the one who's the resurrection and the life. That's it. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Lazarus wasn't dead. Lazarus wasn't dead. I want that truth to penetrate my life. I want that reality that I am walking with the resurrection and the life to transform my perspective on everything. And let me say this. I don't believe it's only people he's able to resurrect. That sounds weirder than it should. So let me explain what I'm saying. There's some stuff that I've believed God for. And it's got to a point where it seems hopeless. Where it seems to have died. Where it seems like it's gone past the point of ever being something again. He's the resurrection and the life. He's able to bring transformation to those circumstances. He's able to transform those situations. He's able to revive those dreams. He's able to bring change and transformation in your family. And sometimes I think faith is holding on to Lazarus's corpse and leaving it sit rotting in my living room, the stench infiltrating all of my life and staring at the disappointment day after day. And actually what I want to do is trust God with the Lazarus situations in my life. Deal with them as I need to deal with them, but believe he is able to bring things back to life. Respond as I need to. And if I need to bury Lazarus, I need to bury Lazarus, confident that Christ can call him out of a grave, that he can raise him to life. Because so often he's not doing it the way I want him to. And I've got good plans. At least I think they're good. And I've told him all about my good plans. And I've explained to him how that will impact and work in the lives of other people. Let me be honest, I've got good plans for some of you. And I've told him about my good plans for you. And how that would work in your life. And yet what happens is often very different. And sometimes things die. And I'm a bit thrown because I had a good plan about how Jesus could fix this. And I believed he could. And I believed it would be different. He is the resurrection and the life. He knows what he's doing. He's intentional in his action. He hasn't forgotten you by mistake. He's not neglected you and abandoned you. He isn't overlooking you in the process of your life. He knows what he's doing. It is with intention and purpose that he is acting. And we will not all sleep. But we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we stand together and worship?